I just felt that when Val asked me and Frankie to preach, that I felt like I needed to take this a step farther from what we've been receiving. Val preaches wonderful sermons. He illuminates the Bible. But I also feel like oftentimes it stops at salvation. And I'm assuming that most of us here are saved. Is that true? Okay. So the question that I've been asking myself is, we're saved. Now what? God has called us to live a life of closeness with Him, but also a life of abundance. We've been promised life more abundantly. But if we're stopping at salvation, where's the abundance coming from? The Lord gave me an illustration several years ago about what it's like to be alive in the Spirit. And we have a choice to be alive in the Spirit. We can also completely, totally, 100% disregard it. It's almost as if when we come to salvation, we're given a warehouse of everything that we need, of spiritual gifts that God has already given to us. We'll talk about that next Sunday. But it's there in a warehouse, and we need to be in relationship with the Holy Spirit to bring those things forward into our lives at just the right time. It's almost as if we're sitting outside the front of that warehouse and we're saying, all that spiritual stuff behind me, that's mine. But I want to leave it on the shelf. I want to leave it in the shrink wrap so it stays nice. But we know that life is not perfect. In fact, life can be messy. One of my favorite passages of Scripture is the one that talks about the stall is clean when the oxen are gone. And we all know what when oxen are there, things can happen. We've probably heard that life can be excrementally thought about. It does. It happens. But the thing that I think we need to get our heads around is something that has already been said quite a few times by several people who've been up front. Pastor Martin, one of the songs that he had us worship the Lord with is, let us become a more aware of your presence. It's when we get into the presence of God and we begin to realize that God has something more for us. He wants to be in relationship with us. That's when cool things start happening. I tell you, one of the challenges I have in my life is I'm not contented. I'm not sure it's quite what Pastor Frankie talked about. But to be honest, I can get easily stressed out. Anybody else? Is stress like a backseat driver in your car? I know it's mine. So getting to know the Holy Spirit, that's really what we're going to talk about this morning. I was wondering if we could kind of capture what Val thought about this. The very, very last comment he made as he was ending his sermon last Sunday was, we need to spend more time with Jesus. We need to spend more time, not just in prayer, but just as a child would spend time with his father. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the sermon too. A few days ago, we celebrated Easter. Very, very exciting moment in the Christian calendar. Something exciting for all of us, the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, his resurrection, the victory over death, the victory over sin. And I just put together this real simple biography of Jesus. He was born. He lived a sinless life. He was crucified. On the third day, he was resurrected. He was seen by many. He said he would never leave us nor forsake us. Then he ascended into heaven and sat down at the right hand of the Father. Then he sent the Holy Spirit to live in our hearts. Yes, all who accepted Jesus, that offer of salvation, the Holy Spirit takes up residence in our hearts. The question is, are we in relationship with that Holy Spirit? I'd like to read John chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 11 through 13. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believed in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. In verse 12, it talks about he gave us the right to be children of God. That right is a legal term in the Greek. And it's actually, oh, there we go, good. It's actually the concept of we have the power and the authority to do something in particular. In this case, to be the children of God. But a right isn't immediately mean that we have that experience. When I got my driver's license, I took the test, both written and driving, and I got my license. But I didn't drive here this morning. My wife drove here this morning. I wasn't the driver, but I had the right to drive, but I wasn't the driver because I didn't exercise that right. In the same way with the children of God, we need to step into that relationship. We need to choose to be in relationship with the Holy Spirit every day. That's where we're children of God. It's when we're able to cry out, Abba, Father, and we're grateful to be His children. It's moving into that relationship. Now, to be the children of God, it does mean we need to be in relationship. This last week, actually it was the week before, I stood in our kitchen and I looked at all the ridiculous gadgets and small appliances that we have on the counters. And I'm guessing our kitchen looks a lot like yours. We have, starting from over here all the way around, we have a air fryer. You can say amen if you like air fryers. We have a toaster oven. We have a blender. We have two coffee makers, a Keurig and a regular one. We have an air popper. That's for me. Amen. We have a refrigerator, a stove, a microwave, a crock pot, and a rice cooker. Obviously, we had just had the kids over. And yes, we do have two coffee makers. I mean, when you have a wife like mine, we know that she has a special philosophy of life, and she has that emblazoned in our kitchen. It says, fueled by Jesus and coffee. And what was your coffee cup? It was, you can always depend on a woman who's fueled by prayer and caffeine. Yeah. Anybody else amen to that philosophy of life? Come on, church. Okay, so I mention all these gadgets not to brag because I have an air fryer, but to say all of these appliances are great when they're in use. But if they're not plugged into the power source, they're just sitting there gathering dust or whatever grease happens to be in my frying pan. It's the same thing with us when we are the children of God. We need to be connected up with the Holy Spirit. We need to be connected to the power source. I'll illustrate this a little bit later. This is actually kind of getting exciting, at least for me. Val shared last Sunday the idea that we need to be in relationship with God, thus discovering our changed name. Some of you remember the whole idea, we need to find our nickname. And I would take this farther and say that we need to spend time in His presence, in relationship with God, so that we can feel His love, discover our giftings, learn how to love God ourselves, to worship Him, and to discover God's will for our lives. That comes in our connectedness with God. It's that relationship. It just becomes as if it were a flower blossoming in our life when we begin to see just exactly how exciting it is to be in the presence. Oftentimes we think it's rather boring because we just sit there and, you know, we give God our prayer list. Oh, God, do this. Oh, God, do that. Oh, God, do the other. But have we ever bothered to actually be in a conversation with God? God, I'm struggling over this particular thing. What do I have to do? He might just simply say, put the bowling ball down. You don't need it anymore. You know, just get it out of the way. What is God trying to communicate to you, but we're not listening? So the communication that we have between us and God is captured in the words of Jesus in John chapter 10, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. There's two elements here. First of all, it's us learning to hear the voice of God. So when we ask God a question like, why am I struggling over this? When we hear His voice, then we need to do, and here's the hard part, we need to be obedient. Pastor Martin mentioned in one of the scripture, actually, the Shrout couple, bless them both, they actually shared something that we need to get our heads around. It was from John 14, and it said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You'll obey what I say. All the way. Starting today. That's a poem. Tim, write that down for me. I want a t-shirt out of that. But the beautiful part of this is that we need to be hearing the voice of God. Now, I want to have a live illustration. Don, would you mind helping me? Now, Don and I practiced this, so there shouldn't be any prompting from the audience for this because we already know the answer, but this is just a great illustration. It's great because I wrote it. So I have. So I've asked Don to come forward. So please, this is just an illustration. This is not a competition. So please, no wagering. Let's stay on the ground. And I had Don come up, and he sat right down there. And last week, if you recall, he said that one day he was going to find a hem that Don did not know. Now, I decided to go to the source and say, is there a hem that we might use as this illustration? And we just were talking, and I said, gosh, I wish I could remember the title of it. And the verse goes, God created a place for man. It was part of the perfect plan. God gave guidance and talked to man anytime, any day. Gosh, I wish I could just remember the title. No, let me do it. I want to figure it out for myself. Does anybody else ever feel that? That we hear the voice of God, or we get this impression from the Lord that the right answer. And all of a sudden we say, oh no, I'm going to do it myself. I'm just too cool for life. And God has gifted me, and so I shouldn't have to hear the voice of God. I'm just going to use my gifts. Okay, so let's stop here and let's just evaluate the menace that I've become to life itself. And, by the way, for those of you who don't know, the author of the lyrics was Don LaFont. And so what we have is we have the opportunity to hear the voice of God and to be obedient and to move forward in the things that he's trying to capture in our hearts, in our minds, to change our lives, to move us forward, to make us better, to make us more Christ-like. Or as the Shrout couple shared with us this morning, that we would grow in to become more holy. But we need to stop fighting against the voice of God. We need to learn his voice. Now, there are other voices that are perhaps floating around the spiritual atmosphere. The one that says, let's order that second pizza and eat it for lunch. Probably not a good choice, but it's enjoyable, but probably not a good choice. There are other things that perhaps we need to resist because they are not from the voice of God. Those that cause us to... Does anybody have a Bible? Yeah. Raise it up. Okay, see the Bible's floating? Yes, amen. Thank y'all. But the reality here, oh, I'm sorry. Is it a widescreen? Okay, but the reality is that God is never going to ask us or tell us to do something that isn't directly in relationship with the Bible. The Bible has given us the guidelines for life. The transition from the Bible to our lives is how each one of us has been created. And so from the Bible to our lives, it has been translated, uniquely crafted for you. The reality is that God is trying to take each one of us with all of our giftings, our talents, the things who we are, our personalities, even our bad humor, and crafting us so that we can be used of God. But we don't do this just by sitting sterilely on the chair. We step into a relationship with God. Now, let's see. Yeah. Good. There's a wonderful verse that actually one of the songs that we sang this morning actually gave reference indirectly to this verse. And this verse is incredibly important. It's Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9. And that says, God is speaking. Yes, that's the one. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways, or your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are the ways higher, or my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts. Okay? Basically, what it's saying is that my ideas are right, and us as human beings, we're wrong. Now, the crazy thing is, if we have a God that gives us the right answers, why would we want to indulge in the wrong answers? That's one of those beautiful parts when we say, well, we just need to get quiet with God. We need to get alone and just put our concerns before Him and let Him guide us, let Him speak to us. Because His thoughts are not our thoughts and His ways are not our ways. And so we need to plug into His thoughts and His ways. Now, if we continue on with the rest of the chapter all the way to verse 13, we find that everything that God speaks is like a seed planted in our heart, and it begins to blossom. Everything that God does in each one of us bears fruit. So when we plug into those ideas that God is trying to speak to us, He's saying, let's just plant the seeds. Let's watch it grow. Let's watch you develop into the person that I created you to be. All right. So the challenge of this illustration was that I had Don here, who had the right answer, partially because he's the author. He's sitting here in my life with the correct answer, who gently gave me the proper guidance, but I still wanted to do things my own way. That's a problem. So I rejected the right answer because I was willfully and foolishly, I wanted to figure it out for myself. We all have moments like this where we do things on our own, according to our own will. We need to surrender to the Holy Spirit. All right, let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. Starting at verse 14, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now, the thing that's really interesting is that, well, it's interesting to me. You can decide if it's interesting later. Is that, first of all, God is granting us glory to be built up in our inner man. This is one of the major themes of Paul's writings. We often think that Paul has just gone from place to place planting churches and then, you know, writing back to correct issues, telling us all about when we should have communion and when we shouldn't. We shouldn't be dining in a full meal. We should just be having the wine and the bread. But the reality here is that Paul has a very interesting spiritual focus that we need to get a hold of. If we take a look at Colossians chapter 1, I don't think I have it there, Tim, do I? Okay. It's that Paul came and started writing to different churches so that we would be aware of the mystery that's inside of us, which is Christ in you. The whole idea that the Holy Spirit comes and He sets up life in us when we are saved. It's just like Don over here. Don is sitting in the corner by himself in a sanctified portion of the sanctuary. So if you want to see what holiness is, you step over where he is. And you stay away from where I am because I'm doing things in my own will, my own power. The reality here is that Don is here. He's playing the role of the Holy Spirit right now, if you didn't catch that. And so he's giving me the word. And to be in relationship with him, I need to realize that Christ dwells inside of us. And I think we all need to do that too. We need to understand that it's all rooted in love. Tim, I'm skipping that slide. And that we would be able to get to the place where we understand who God is in relationship to us and who we are in relationship to Him. And that ultimately we would understand one of the most important elements that God has for each one of us. And that is His love. That we are to begin to comprehend and understand the height and breadth and width and depth of the love that God has for us. God isn't saying, come into relationship with me and you know, make me feel good. He's saying, come, my child, let me love you. Let me care for you. Let me take you in the midst of the challenges that you're facing, and let me show you that I care more than you possibly can imagine. So we have, Don, why don't you come forward? We have Don, who's playing the role of the Holy Spirit, and he has already gently given me the answer to my quest. But the reality is, there's something more going on in the spiritual realm. Revelation chapter 3:20 talks about God standing at the door and knocking. If whoever opens the door, he will come in and eat with them and them with him. The beauty of all this is very simple. It can be easily attributed to salvation, but it's actually a lifestyle comment that Don is standing at the door of knocking and just waiting for me to hang out with him. Since he's my father-in-law, that's not a bad idea. But we need to begin to realize that in the midst of the Holy Spirit living inside of our hearts, we have to slowly build that relationship. How many here are familiar with small children? Babies, toddlers? You know that, well, Glenn and I have a grandson. He's absolutely the best grandson that has ever been born in the whole entire world. And I'm not biased. And the reality of all this is that he is now at the place where he raises his arms and he raises his legs and he rocks back and forth trying to get crawling. You ever wonder what our spiritual lives is like? We often start as toddlers. We often have to turn to the Holy Spirit, our Heavenly Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we start by just getting to know him and we wave. And we begin to realize that God deeply desires to be with us and wants us to be willfully or willingly coming to him. We must turn inward. So it would be like the Holy Spirit coming and all of a sudden I recognize him in my life. And we do this through prayer, asking the Holy Spirit to grow our relationship with him. And our relationship begins, like I said, as a spiritual toddler. The second thing is, as we grow in closeness and intimacy with the Holy Spirit, with Jesus, with God the Father, we eventually become more intimate. And it becomes a closer friendship. A lot of times I think we don't get this far. I think a lot of times we just say, the Holy Spirit's in my life, I'm saved, life is good, and, you know. Let's have pizza. Yeah, there you go. Bless you, brother. By the way, after I made the comment about pizza last week, Glenn and I had pizza 3 times this week. It's insane. 3 different places. Isn't that right? Okay. And then once we get to the place where we begin to grow in it, oh, I hadn't finished that point. The reality is that we need to step beyond surface level Christianity. We need to grow in our spirit in such a way that we are growing that relationship. The third is, as we grow, we find intimacy that we have been wanting, the love of God the Father. It's always available, but we need to be in a close relationship with him for us to continue experiencing the depths of that intimacy with the Father. That's what God wants. He wants each of us, his children, to crawl up into his lap and hug him in a spiritual sense. By spending time with him, letting him know how much we value him. And he has already expressed how much he values us, because he sent his one and only son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. He sacrificed his son because he cares about you. He wants you more than anything else. All right, Don, thank you so much. I've tortured you enough. He did a wonderful job. I was going to read this letter. Some of you may remember it. It was about an English preacher who had this ministry of going around from setting to setting, talking about how we all needed to abstain from alcohol. And so he had this young man of good family and good reputation come and sit on the stage with him, and, And this guy was a fireball preacher, and he would look at the young man who was drunk out of his mind, and he would be swearing, and he would be, you know, burping and farting and all kinds of other pleasurable things, and he'd be saying obnoxious things to the congregation as they sat out there, truly emphasizing the pastor's point. Well, in the letter that was sent, it said that this young man just recently passed away, and we were just wondering if you'd be willing to come and take his place. We've decided not to share that letter, so. The beauty and the importance, though, of being in relationship with the Holy Spirit is the continued communication that we have with God. Remember, he is the one, his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. He has the right answer. We just need to be in relationship with him. We need to turn to the Holy Spirit. We need to develop that relationship. We need to spend time in his presence, learning, loving, worshiping, growing, exalting who he is. Let's go to John 15, Tim. This was going to be the main text of our sermon this morning, so only two more hours. The Lord had other thoughts, and so we were obedient to him. But starting with verse 1, I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. It's so that it may bear more fruit. Oh, that's better. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you may bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. Now the thing about this is, I just mentioned before I brought this up, is that we need to stay in connection with the Holy Spirit. We need to hear his voice. And the more that we're in connection with the Holy Spirit, try to do Vanna here. The more that we're in connection with the Holy Spirit, the more we're hearing the voice of God, and the more he guides our lives. But we can't just sit in a chair and do nothing. We need to maintain that connection. The branch is connected to the vine and gets its nourishment from the vine. The vine, of course, here is Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the branches are us. If we're not bearing fruit, we're going to be cut off, we're going to be thrown and burned. But if we are bearing fruit, we've discovered by this passage that it's because we're experiencing the love of God. We're glorifying him by fulfilling what he wants for us to do. And our joy is made full. We're not promised a boring life. We're promised life and life more abundantly, full of love and full of joy when we maintain that relationship. But we have to choose to be in relationship. We can't just sit in a chair and say, okay, God kind of wash over me, life is good. It's like watching the movie Jaws. You know, you just kind of keep watching and, you know, something happens and, boy, that's exciting and that's scary. He's got big teeth. The reality is that if we just let that whole idea, whatever our perception of God is, no matter how incorrect it is, it will have an effect on us, but it will never grow that relationship. We need to turn and connect with the Holy Spirit through prayer, through worship, through reading your Bible, through hanging out with other people. I've picked on Martin a little bit today, but the reality here But the reality is that Martin and I, as brothers in Christ, we have a promise from Paul that we can be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. What the Holy Spirit is doing inside of Martin, he can share with me and I can be blessed because he's connected up with the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
And the same thing goes back. There may be something that I'm experiencing that is different and wonderful, and I just have to share it, and he has a heart that's just willing to receive. We are both in connection with the Holy Spirit. We both have needs of fellowship. We both have needs of love. And that is going to happen when we stay connected with the Holy Spirit. So spend some time with the Lord this week.